Welcome to this episode with Ben Rubin. As a result of the last 20 years of scientific research, many people are ready to try meditation, only to be put off by the syrupy, woo-hoo way in which it's often presented. 10% happier, meditation for skeptics, uniquely serves this audience with a combination of renowned meditation teachers, a skeptical, even self-interested tone, and personal coaching. This app is amazing. I love meditation, but I was a skeptic. It was only by chance that I really gave it a try. For anyone out there who wants to feel better and still thinks meditation's not for them, this episode is for you. Ben dispels the myth that meditation is new age fluff. If you're even considering it, check this episode out. Enjoy the show. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and write a review. Thanks for listening. Today we have Ben Rubin on the show. Ben Rubin is the co-founder and CEO of 10% Happier. Welcome to the Art of Authenticity, Ben. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here. Particularly interested in anything health and fitness and meditation related. And I ended up sort of by chance starting a sleep company, a company that helped folks improve and track their sleep quality. And that led me on sort of my own personal journey between starting with sleep and realizing that if I slept 8 hours a night instead of 4 or 5, I wouldn't be exhausted all the time, into nutrition and fitness and really learning how to, you know, keep my energy levels up, and you know, lost some weight along the way. And you know, for me, it was sort of a CrossFit style, paleo style switch. Mm-hmm. And once I had my sort of physical base, I started hearing about meditation. And you know, like you, I'd say at first I thought it was bullshit. I just couldn't have imagined that it would be anything useful for me. And I am pretty allergic to anything religious in nature. I wasn't raised in a religious context, and I just have a ton of skepticism when it comes to anything that strikes of religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. So it took me, I would actually say it probably took me 2 or 3 years of hearing about the benefits of meditation from my executive coach, from people I'd work with, from friends, reading books, until I finally said, okay, I'll try. And once I did, you know, shockingly, it was not only extremely useful, but also can be done in a completely secular fashion without any unwarranted beliefs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sort of fast forward to 10% Happier, you know, Dan Harris, who's our partner in building this app and one of the co-founders of the business, has sort of his own story of being a skeptic and actually having a panic attack on air. He was a news anchor, and finding meditation of all things was helpful. But he went ahead and wrote a book that essentially tackled some of the key misconceptions around meditation. And when I read that in 2014, I've been meditating for a few years, but the immediate realization was, wow, if I'd read this book and had access to an app that sort of had this concept behind it 3 or 4 years ago, I wouldn't have waited. Right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have spent those 2 or 3 years dragging my feet around meditation. I would have just dove right in, and my life would have been better for it.
Mm-hmm. And how did you finally, after those 2 or 3 years, what was it that made you cave? And then what was your process to start? I mean, how did you have a tool? Did you have somebody help you?
Yeah. So for me, it was my executive coach at the time who was really encouraging me to try meditation. And, you know, I had sort of intellectually agreed with her. I said, okay, I've read the research. I've heard, you know, so many testimonials and recommendations. But I was somewhat paralyzed when it came to what do I do first? What do I try? And so for me, I ended up sort of biting the bullet and going to a 5-day meditation retreat. I went to IMS, the Insight Meditation Society in Barre, Mass. And, you know, it took me a couple of days of feeling like maybe I was crazy for doing this. But, you know, after, you know, sitting for 2 or 3 days, and my back hurt, my mind was going crazy, I started to see what the point was. Mm-hmm. I started to see that all the thoughts that were running through my head all sort of had a stimulus somewhere, and that they weren't necessarily me. You know, just some of the very sort of basics of what a longtime meditator will experience, I started to experience in these 5 days. And it just convinced me that it was a practice that was worth continuing. But I don't think many people today get to the point where, you know, they hear about it enough and they get pushed in the right direction and they go to a retreat. So our goal with 10% Happier is to allow people to try meditation and start to practice in the simplest possible way without any beliefs and with some humor involved, because meditation can actually be amazingly valuable, but it's not easy. And when you first sit down to try it, you're going to feel like an idiot. We just acknowledge that and play with it.
That's what I really loved, because I agree with you, going to a 5-day retreat. I mean, I had considered that, but it's so overwhelming to think about and to set this time aside and to commit to that level. And, you know, sometimes those are silent retreats or they're hours of meditation a day. For myself, it was, you know, a 30-minute no moving in a silent room with 30 yoga teachers in a training. And I really thought I was going to go insane. So I think the things you guys do by easing the person in a couple minutes at a time, it just makes the system much more manageable and accessible, really, is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. And that really is our goal. I mean, at this point, we feel like meditation has been validated scientifically. So a lot of folks out there who are saying, man, I'd like to try it, but I haven't found the thing that's for me. And, you know, we really think it can be for closer to everyone if it's tackled in the right way. And so we tackle it with humor, with skepticism, but we also bring the best teachers to the table, and we have a human coach that actually helps you succeed. So there's just a lot of reasons that we think this product can introduce meditation to a larger group than previous. And that just gets me really excited, because meditation has had such a big impact on my life that it just doesn't deserve to be locked in this box of new age, yoga-ish, you know, slightly strange behavior, right? It's like exercise for the mind.
Well, and, you know, my book is Emotional Obesity, and I talk about emotional workouts, and I'm trying to normalize this because I have the same feeling. I am somebody who lives in a city, and I'm busy, and I'm a mom, and I'm, you know, a business person. It is not strange and wooey-wooey and, you know, countercultural to do these things. They're extraordinarily helpful. And it's just so wonderful to have another voice out there putting out this idea that it's, you know, you have to go to the top of a mountain to meditate, or you have to suddenly not care about life. There's so many strange things that we connect to. When you say that it doesn't have to be secular and it can be useful, what are the one or two or three things that you found through meditation that were useful in your life?
Yes. I think the biggest benefit of meditation initially is mindfulness. And, you know, I'll give it the sort of simplest explanation of my own life. You know, those moments when you get bad news by email, or, you know, someone cuts you off in traffic, or you know, about to get into an argument with your partner. Like, when those happen, with a little bit of mindfulness, you can kind of decide whether you want to bite the hook or not. And without mindfulness, you just sort of run through it. So I've now noticed, as a result of sitting for, you know, I generally sit for something like 20 minutes a morning, sometimes more, but it's not a lot of time. But what happens is, you know, that moment comes in where an email hits and it sounds terrible and I want to, you know, type off some terrible reply, but mindfulness sort of interrupts and says, hold on, you know, you're getting angry. You can step back from this and kind of decide whether you want to send a crazy reply or not.
And I loved one of the videos where Dan Harris lays this out, and he says one of the things that we're given as a tool, as a Homo sapien, is that we have our meta conversation. We are able to observe ourselves in our thinking, right? And what I'm hearing you say is you're able to stop, have the meta conversation, observe yourself, and make decisions, which is really what mindfulness is about. But again, I think mindfulness is another term that's out there, but I thought very confusing when I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. And it really is, if you right now were to sit and notice that your butt is on the chair and notice what that feels like, that's mindfulness right there in 2 seconds. And with a little bit of meditation practice, that just a little bit more mindfulness comes into your everyday life. And I just find that I make better decisions that lead to better outcomes and sort of more success and happiness for me, and less sort of flailing around challenges.
Right, because giving real thought and not impulsive behavior to the next step and the next action, right, then you master your thoughts. And when you master your thoughts, you master your actions, right? Because we aren't acting out of just pure emotional instinct.
Well, I'm going to take a little bit of issue with the wording choice of master your thoughts. What I find that mindfulness does, it doesn't actually There's no mastering of. It's acceptance of and knowledge of, right? So these thoughts, these emotions, they happen, right? When someone cuts me off in traffic, I still get angry. I still have crazy thoughts about, you know, getting out of the car, you know, running up to their car and screaming at them or whatever the situation is. I'm just aware of them. And I not that I would act on them normally, but I can see them and sort of almost laugh at them like, oh, wow, I'm getting, you know, ridiculously angry about this traffic accident or traffic cut off and it's no big deal. And there are other cases where the emotions are absolutely justified, right? It's okay to feel loss and sadness and elation and joy, but just being aware that they're happening changes the equation a bit in a way that is really positive.
Absolutely. And I love that you elaborated on that point, because by mastering thoughts, I don't mean getting rid of them. We are human. We have them. Emotions are a wonderful thing. We don't want to like end up emotionless. And I think, again, that's another false impression people have of this process, that you're going to numb out somehow and not experience life. It's just that you're always aware of it to make choices, right? So in that traffic moment, I'm still, like you said, I'm pissed. I'm having all these thoughts and I'm angry, but I choose to move on, and I'm aware of it so that I can make different choices. And the emotions come and the emotions go, but I might not have done that 2 years ago. I might have been thinking about that moment in traffic 3 hours later, right? And still been irritated.
Yeah. I'll give you an example of how this is useful in my everyday life. I run a company, there's lots of stress involved. And there are nights where I can't fall asleep, and, you know, I just have these racing thoughts in my head about this could go wrong, this could go wrong, this did go wrong, oh my God.
Yeah.
And the response to that now isn't that doesn't happen. It's that I notice it's happening. I say, okay, I'm really stressed tonight. And yet I can sort of logically look at the situation and say, normally when this happens, if I have a good night's sleep and I exercise, I'll feel a bit better in the morning, and this will be a little less present, and I'll have a little bit more sort of bounce in my step. So, okay, I'm just going to be stressed tonight.
And that's acceptance, right? You accept that these things that are happening are not abnormal, you don't need to push it down. You don't need to suck it up. And, you know, we're taught when we're younger, like all of these thoughts, these feelings, suck it up, manage it, don't worry about it, push through it. And it's, I think the opposite, become aware, notice it. And then, like you said, come up with a plan, right? I love what your advice is. Maybe you need to exercise. Maybe you need to sleep, right? Like, these are signs that we're overwhelmed.
Yeah. And I think it ties in directly to your thesis around authenticity, right? To me, meditation enables me to be a bit more self-aware and more authentic to what's actually happening in my everyday experience, which helps me be more authentic, you know, as I present to the world and work with others.
And you add a coach to the program. What was the thought behind? I got these lovely texts and emails from somebody ready to help me through the process. What was the thinking behind doing that?
Yeah. So prior to having built the 10% Happier course and really committing to building a business around meditation, we'd built a variety of courses in productivity and nutrition and fitness. And despite having some great content, great mobile app, we just weren't initially seeing as much engagement as we'd like. And we sort of come from this behavior change background and sort of a understanding of, you know, habit formation and psychology. And I was at first convinced that we could automate all of those little tricks, right? Have someone sign a little commitment contract and send them reminders. And, you know, if X, then Y, you know, send them this message. And it just didn't work that well. And what we started experimenting with, and initially it was, we were trying to automate more effectively. So we put some humans in the loop to sort of see how they would act so that we could automate their interactions. And what we noticed was just having a human on the other side that can answer your questions totally changed the equation and the relationship to whatever change someone was making. So we just made that a part of the core service, and it's very lightweight. It's sort of not in your face. You're not chatting with this person on the phone. They're not, you know, yelling at you if you weren't successful. They're just there to answer your questions. And when you just sit down and meditate for the first time, a bunch of questions come up.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, we have people asking everything from, you know, can I have a beer before my meditation that relaxes me, to can I meditate, you know, in the morning, at night, you know, what about the middle of the day? You know, what if my dog is barking? Like, all of these questions come up, and you just text off or, you know, question your coach and they get back to you. And it's a really nice way to just keep the momentum going.
You know, you're reminding me, when I learned to meditate, I was in this teacher training program. So there's 30 of us, and we would meditate, and then we would talk afterwards. And I never really thought about it until you just said that, that having that community of people, and we would share our feelings, and, you know, everybody was having so many stressful and embarrassing questions come up, and, mm-hmm. and we'd share it. And so that's right. Okay, can I move my leg? It's falling asleep. Is that bad? Right? Yeah. Or one woman that was counting the whole time, and she's like, is that really weird that I was counting the entire 30 minutes? Yeah. And you know, because the strangest stuff comes up when you sit really quietly. That's.
And to me, this, and there's nothing mystical about this, right? This is the difference between if you've never been to the gym and you just go and sort of play around with the equipment and try and make it work versus having a class with a coach who, you know, might correct you if you're doing something, you know, it doesn't look quite right on the squat, or you can ask them like, hey, my shoulder this today, like, how do I do this exercise or should I change it? There's nothing weird about it. It's simply that if you have some people around you that are knowledgeable, you're going to make progress more quickly and you're going to get over roadblocks.
Absolutely. I mean, coaches are just a wonderful thing. I've decided to spend my life doing it, and I get better results when I have a coach at a gym, or, you know, I got some private yoga classes for a while and it was unbelievable. Every time you invest at that level, right? It's the results are amazing.
Yeah.
So what's next in this project? The app is wonderful. You've got the coaches. Is there more to come, or is it really just getting it out there and scaling?
Well, lots more. So we initially built the 10% Happier as a course, right? It was a 2-week course, introduction to meditation. And what happened then was both surprising and amazing. People started to meditate and they kept meditating beyond those 2 weeks, and they asked for more, right? So it was like literally people were angry at us and they were saying like, okay, you've taught me how to do this, but now, like, now what?
Nice.
Like, now I'm just supposed to do it. And, you know, what we went back to was, how can we support these folks? How can we continue to keep them engaged? How can we give them new ways to apply this in their everyday life? And so what that led us to do is do a bunch more content around meditation. So specifically, we're about to launch 3 new courses. Probably by the time this podcast is live, that'll happen. We're taking the initial 2-week experience and making it 30 days. So just adding more with Dan and Joseph, who's his meditation teacher. We're doing a course with Sharon Salzberg, who teaches a style of meditation called loving kindness. And, you know, Dan is actually a perfect person to jump in and describe why that also is not weird or new agey, but scientifically based and worth doing. And then we're doing a course with a guy named Oren J. Sofer, who teaches at the intersection of mindfulness and communication skills. So this is a really interesting set of content where essentially he teaches you how to take, you know, 10 minutes of practice a day of meditation and bring that into your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your coworkers, your relationship with your kids, and improve the quality of those relationships. So we're taking this and we're really going to blow it out, and we're going to make it the best tool, not just to help you learn how to meditate, but how to stick with it and how to apply it in lots of different areas of your life. And throughout that entire process, we're not going to lose our sense of humor. We're not going to lose our skepticism. You know, we're going to keep it real for people so that they don't feel like they need to sign up for anything or believe in anything to get the benefits of this practice.
I love it. I think that's amazing. And I honestly am going to be one of your first clients, because I'm always looking for new ways and different directions to take this, because it's all about applying it into the world, right? I mean, that's the value of it. You're learning a skill that when you go out and you're stressed and you're busy and you're doing all these things, it's a tool in your tool belt, and to keep adding new ones that's amazing.
And the thing that I've noticed in my life is that meditation just gets really boring, right? It's super boring, right? You're sitting down and watching your thoughts for 10, 15, 20 minutes. And, you know, the first 2 weeks you're learning some stuff. It's kind of exciting. This is a new thing. It's hard. You know, 2, 3, 4 months in, it's just boring, right? You're like, why am I going to do this again?
Yeah.
Do I really need to sit down for 15 minutes? Like, I've got shit to do today. And what I've found is just sort of constantly having new ways to apply it, hearing about people who have meditated for a while and what that's doing for them, just hearing good jokes about it and being exposed to it, like, that helps me sort of stick with it, right? Every time I hear about, like, oh, meditation can help with my productivity, I didn't know that. I dive in again and I learn a bit more, and I'm engaged and excited to continue practicing, even though when I sit down, I still am like, oh, man, this is going to be a little boring.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm going to do it anyways because I know what the benefits are, and I've been sort of, I've seen the result in my own life.
Ben, much the way that we think about, I mean, maybe doing crunchies, right? Like, I find them super boring. But if when you really connect to the value that this is, you know, creating this core strength and it's going to help your posture and all these things, right? You're more motivated. So that's right. I think the meditation is pretty boring, right? I often sitting there thinking, God, I so don't want to sit down. I just want to get to work, right?
That's right. Yeah. Netflix is more exciting.
Anything is. I mean, it's like it goes against everything in our culture, my phone, my Netflix, everything. Like I have to sit quietly in a room. I mean, and, you know, and I don't know about you, but I have a child. I'm like, oh my God, where is even a place that I could do this?
Yeah.
So I'm so excited to hear you talk to some of these questions because of the work you're doing. I'm sure you've given it a lot of consideration, but, you know, again, you're somebody from the outside looking in that most people would consider very successful. You've done businesses, you're working with top people, you're creating this incredible product. And that said, I think for all the successful people I know, success that doesn't feel good, that isn't a success where it feels like it's truly you, it doesn't work as well in life. And that's what this podcast is really dedicated to. So what does an authentic life mean to you? What is that that idea meant in your life?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I feel like I was lucky to find early in my career was a sense of authenticity around my work. So to me, you know, there's a lot of life going on, but work is a big portion of it. I think just a lot of people are working in jobs that are not authentic to what they really want to bring into the world. Mm-hmm. So I was lucky enough in my first job, a company called Zio, it's a sleep company, to have found this whole world of behavior change and behavioral psychology and self-improvement. And, you know, my first application of that was in my own life. And having seen the benefits of it, I just said, wow, my career is going to be dedicated to this. And, you know, who knows what I'll be doing 20, 30 years down the line. But I am, you know, today going to commit to making this process easier for people, to make that self-improvement loop more successful. And that's just felt really wonderful since I sort of sat down and did some thinking about that. So for me, that's one of the core parts of being authentic, is starting with the work that I do, making sure it ties into what I want to see in the world.
And for those people listening who are not in authentic careers or don't feel that, how did you know that this was something you want to dedicate your life to? What were the cues to you? Did you just feel drawn to it? How would you describe that?
Sure. So what I do when I wake up and I am on vacation, it's actually relatively similar to what I do when I wake up and I do my work. It's not one-on-one overlap, right? It's not like a nonstop vacation. I have a lot of work to do that I don't want to do. But fundamentally, you know, I'm about to go into the holidays, take a little bit of time off. I'll spend some time just totally relaxing. But then the next thing that my mind will ask me to do is go to the gym and pick up, you know, those 10 books that have been lining up on psychology and on history and other sort of introspective self-improvement, learning-related topics. So that's where my mind goes regardless. And to then realize that in my work, I get to do a lot of that and I get to help other people do that. That's sort of what I do. Right. And I think I'm particularly lucky in having found that. I don't think it's a hard requirement that everyone find that. I mean, there's meaning and passion to be found from working with smart people on any challenge, even if it isn't, you know, what you think about in your spare time. But man, it's nice to be able to do both.
I think that's such a critical thing is, you know, a lot of times people say, I don't know what I want. I don't want to know what I want. But meanwhile, your life is leaving you cues. There's all these things that you're doing and you're gravitating towards, right? And so if you could think about those things and then think, is there a space in the world that needs this skill set, right? It's a great space to start sometimes. And so you have an authentic life in your career. Do you think about authenticity as a balanced practice throughout multiple pieces of your life, or is it mainly focused in career for you?
I really think it's across my entire life, and I don't tend to do much distinguishing between work and life. And, you know, I think there's a negative side to that that comes with it, but as a result, it just feels like one thing rather than compartmentalized. And so as a result, I'm, you know, the friends that I make, the relationships that I have, I'm talking about a lot of the same basic topics and having a lot of the same exploration happen that I am in my work. So it feels very integrated and authentic sort of across all these different barriers. And there's not a lot of separation between the two.
Have you ever had a moment in your life where you made an incredibly inauthentic decision and were aware of it? Or is that just somehow not been your path?
No, I'm sure I have. Let me think about it for a second.
Like when you're stressed out and things are getting overwhelming, have you ever found yourself going, how did I get here?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say in my first company, Zio, you know, there was a moment probably 3 or 4 or 5 years in where I found myself, I was working in this behavioral change sleep space, but I wasn't really practicing it in my life. And I was sitting at a desk and, you know, the computer, my laptop did something that wasn't supposed to do and it shut down or lost something. And I just found myself literally pounding the table and screaming. And people were walking by the office, they were looking at me strangely. It's like, wow, it's flying off the handle right now. And, you know, that was probably a moment of pretty strong lack of authenticity, right? I was working on a company that was supposedly related to health and improvement. And yet I was, you know, sitting there, you know, frustrated with my life. And, you know, that really sort of set me off on the path that I've been on. And, you know, it still happens to a lesser extent. Fair regularity, I'll find myself, you know, sitting in front of a Netflix marathon, eating a jug of ice cream and, you know, trying to describe to myself why I'm not going to go to the gym tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So it's by no means, you know, now everything's great. You know, moments of inauthenticity arise. But I think they're less now than they were.
And that's something that I feel like has been a resounding comment with everybody. And it's been my experience is authenticity is not a space that you land in. It is a practice. And some days are inauthentic. And sometimes you are sitting there watching a ton of Netflix. It doesn't mean you have to feel in a bliss state all the time, right? It's just feeling like the life that you're living feels right to you. And I think that's something people may beat themselves up. Well, if I'm living my authentic life, everything should be, you know, perfect all the time. The birds are singing. I feel happy, right? And I think that's a big misconception.
Yeah, and the way I think of it is that, you know, it's you think of like the graph of a stock, you know, it's very bumpy. There's ups and downs, but hopefully you're trending in the right direction. And, you know, when I look back over the last year, over the last 5 years, it's trending in the right direction, right? I'm moving more towards the life I want to live, interacting with people more the way that I want to interact with them. And yet it doesn't always feel that way in day-to-day interactions or in the moment. But it's good at some point to sort of back up and look at the last couple of years. And yeah, if you're not heading in the right direction, that's when you really need to make some changes. But otherwise, you know, there's room for mistakes and falling back and relaxing your, you know, standards on occasion.
And so there's a lot of people out there that, you know, it's common, right? Like they're living inauthentically, maybe financially, right? They're living beyond their means to have the status, the house or something. They're constantly searching for approvals because they don't feel good about their life. So they're looking for other people maybe to validate. They're in a relationship maybe they didn't mean to get into and they don't know how to get out of and it doesn't feel authentic to them. Do you think you've done all these different products? Do you have any suggestions, practices, ideas of things people could do who are stuck in those situations to move their life into a direction that feels better?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, if someone's listening to this podcast, they have a little bit of spare capacity for thinking about these types of issues and thinking about improvement. And first, that's great to acknowledge, right? There are many people in this world for whom, you know, authenticity and living in sort of accordance with your values just doesn't come into the equation because they're struggling for survival. So, you know, with that small margin of like time that can be spent on personal improvement, self-development, you know, I think there are hundreds of techniques that could be helpful. Everything from improving your sleep quality, improving your, you know, doing more exercise or the right type of exercise or eating well, meditating. And I wouldn't be too picky about where you start. I would pick something that is most exciting to you, right? And for many people, that could be losing a bit of weight. For others, it could be starting a meditation practice. For others, it's spending more time with their family or sort of being more present with their family. it almost doesn't matter where you start. And I think that it's a process of experimentation from there. So pick something that you think would improve your life, you know, start practicing it, even if it's 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, or twice a week, and, you know, constantly be exploring other techniques to add on, right? This is ultimately, I think, the way that this process works for everyone. And it's a very individual journey that's very dependent on your, where you are in life, what you want out of life, what you find exciting. You know, for someone, it could be getting a pilot's license, and someone else, it's becoming a yoga teacher. You know, don't judge it. Just find ways that you want to improve your own life and start down that path.
I love it. You know, for everybody listening, starting somewhere, picking something, getting the ball rolling, right? The momentum is such a big piece of it. And that's such an incredible point. And obviously, right, your app, your tool, you're going to stand behind this is something that you've created, and I love it, and it's got great value. Are there other programs or tools out there that you also think are interesting or have helped you through this process?
Yeah, there's an infinite number. So, you know, for me, I'll just list off a couple of things that have been most helpful, and specifically I'll mention some that are a little less obvious. So, you know, there's sort of on the more obvious side, it's been things like CrossFit and weightlifting. On the less obvious side, from a fitness perspective, interval training has been, you know, 10 minutes, you can do a whole lot for yourself if you add some intensity to it. So that's been a nice, you know, those physical practices have been really important for me. You know, on the nutrition side, you know, I think I've become less dogmatic about my nutrition because I've seen so many different strategies work for different people. And I tend to fall more into a sort of paleo-ish, low-carb-ish type diet. But really, whatever healthy lifestyle sort of appeals to you, I'd move in that direction. And it could be vegetarian, it could be vegan, it could be Mediterranean, you know, some sort of conscious eating practice where you're, you know, taking into account your health and thinking about that as you go through the day, I think is really important. So exercise, nutrition, huge start. You know, sleep is often ignored, but is absolutely crucial. It's one of the things I truly don't compromise on. You know, I often will go into periods where I'm traveling and I'm busy and I'm stressed and my exercise and nutrition might fall off. My sleep quality, I really try to maintain, because without having solid, high quality sleep, I'm leading down the path of more stress and less authenticity and less mindfulness.
What's a good night of sleep?
Yeah. So for me, it's, and this is where sleep is very idiosyncratic and different folks have different challenges. For me, it's around, I try and keep my bedroom as dark as possible. I try to allocate at least 8 hours of sleep per night and, you know, wake up as much as I can, you know, without an alarm clock. And of course, sometimes it's necessary and I use an alarm clock and I sleep less than 8 hours, but for the most part, I'm allowing myself to sort of sleep in a bit, rather than, you know, sort of setting an alarm early and hitting the gym. Mm-hmm. So, and then the last practice I found really useful with sleep is I have times when I wake up and I'm stressed and I can't go to sleep. Instead of spinning on that and being worried about it, I just roll with it. I'm like, all right, cool. I may not sleep tonight. Yeah. That's happened in the past. It'll happen again. You know, tomorrow will still be okay. I'll probably sleep really well the next night.
Yeah.
and like, maybe I'll read a book instead of sleeping, or I'll just lay here. So just being a little bit less critical of that insomnia has helped make it less of an impact in my life. So sort of exercise, nutrition, sleep, sort of the basics. You know, for me on the productivity side, I found a couple of techniques really powerful. So a weekly review is something that I really have found amazingly powerful. And for me, it's about a 2-hour process. I get it in most Mondays, and it's just a process of sort of going through all my various lists and emails and bringing them all down to, you know, zero, so that I've read and responded to or put on a list every email and every sort of to-do list item, and then prioritizing for the week, right? What's most important, you know, based on my schedule, what can I hope to accomplish? That practice weekly has been really powerful for me.
I'm an 8 or 9 hour sleeper, and lists and prioritizing is my life. I couldn't agree more. Putting stuff onto paper, getting it out of your mind so it's not sitting there, right? It is just the greatest thing, especially when you run businesses and have a life with a ton of details that you've got to deal with. Mm-hmm. First thing to keep you up at night, right, is, oh my God, did I remember to do this? Or putting it onto a list, you can't forget. That's amazing. What incredible tips and ideas. Thank you so much for joining us. If people are interested in your app and getting more information about you, where can they reach you?
Yeah, so the app is in the App Store. Just search for 10% Happier. Pretty much any combination of words or numbers or percent signs will find you that app. And if you have an Android, go to 10percenthappier.com. The course is available by the web and can be taken on your phone as well. So those are the places to find the app. And if you want to find me, it's just Ben at 10% Happier, and I'm easy to get in touch with. So reach out.
Thank you so much. Incredible information. Love your product. I so appreciate you coming on the show today.
Really appreciate you having me, and love the project and how else I can help.
Awesome. Have a great day.